From the Center for the Study of God and Culture and the studios of Faith Talk 1500, it's the Paul Edwards Program. Information, commentary, and podcasts are always online at godandculture.com. Now, here's your host, Paul Edwards.
In the marriage debate, in the debate over homosexual rights, the homosexual activists have always said to us, those of us who want to defend the status quo and leave marriage alone, they've always said to us, hey, what does it make to you what we do in our bedroom? What we do in our bedroom's our business, and it's not going to affect you. What difference does it make to you if Adam and Steve get married in Vermont? I mean, it's no skin off your nose. I mean, why don't you focus on your marriage? Let us focus on ours. Because, it's just live and let live, isn't it, right? And we warned, didn't we? We warned, we evangelical, bigoted, narrow-minded evangelicals, we warned that if the door were opened to gay marriage in this country, that it would lead to a slippery slope. If the door were just cracked a bit to equate homosexual rights with civil rights, that the door would be kicked down. And we've recently seen that, haven't we? Just within the last month, in spite of the Defense of Marriage Act passed in 1996, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been lifted in the military, and now you have men and women coming out now, and this isn't the point of what I'm about to say, but here as a side note, there is a move to now admit transgendered people to the United States military. Why? There is an 11-year-old boy somewhere, I've read this earlier today, an 11-year-old boy somewhere who's undergoing sex change therapy. 11 years old. But the big story is the headline from the Associated Press. The Pentagon says military chaplains may perform same-sex unions. They can do it whether they're on or off a military institution. The ruling announced Friday by the Pentagon's personnel chief follows the September 20 repeal of a law that had prohibited gays and lesbians from serving openly in the military. Some members of Congress have objected to military chaplains performing same-sex unions, saying it would violate the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act. The Pentagon says a military chaplain may officiate at any private ceremony, but isn't required if it would conflict with his or her religious or personal beliefs. Now, look, how soon before it will be mandated by the Pentagon that military chaplains perform same-sex unions? How soon before that happens? You see, the homosexual activists have always said to us, look, it doesn't hurt your rights. It's no skin off your nose what we do. Let us do what we do. We'll let you do what you do. Well, tell that to the gal who runs the photography place out there. Where was it? Out west somewhere in Utah, Colorado. Two lesbians came to her and said, we want to hire you to photograph our civil union ceremony. And she said, well, what you're doing is against my convictions, and I think you better find a different photographer. They sued her and won millions of dollars in damages simply because an American citizen who owns a private business said, I'm not going to photograph a gay civil union. It's against my principles to do so, and I'm not going to do it. They took her to court, and they won millions of dollars, put this woman out of business. This is why it is our business what goes on in the bedrooms of gay people, because you see it doesn't end at the bedroom door. And when the Pentagon announces today that they're going to begin allowing their military chaplains to perform same-sex unions, mark my word, my friends, this is simply one step towards mandating that military chaplains perform same-sex unions. This is where this country is. It's not where we're headed. It is where we are. The Christian worldview is the minority report in America today. And that is for the most part, the fault of people like you and me who refuse to let our voices be heard on these issues, who think that, you know, Christians should be seen and not heard, and we just kind of roll over and play dead, and who are we to stick our nose into the political business? Now, look, You're not going to find anybody more staunchly in favor of the separation of church and state than yours truly. I am firmly in favor of the separation of church and state. I don't think the church should do what the state should do, and I don't think the state should do what the church should do, but the church has lost its prophetic voice. The church cannot sit by and allow the state to run roughshod over biblical principles. The biblical principle is, in the beginning, God created them male and female. You know who said that? I'll give you one guess. Give you one guess who said, in the beginning, God created them male and female. Yeah, Jesus Christ said that. And now you've got the Pentagon saying, oh, yeah, if you're a military chaplain, you may perform these weddings. Next year, or the year after that, the Pentagon will come out and say, you must perform these weddings. And it's not too far down the road in the United States of America where the federal government, state governments, particularly those states that have same-sex marriage now on the books thanks to judicial activism, there isn't one referendum on same-sex marriage where the people have voted that it's passed. Not one. Nowhere in this country where same-sex marriage is legal has it become legal because of the votes of the people. California, a case in point. If it becomes legal, it becomes legal by judicial fiat. 1 to 3 judges sitting in a room saying, we believe this, and therefore we're going to impose this on the people. And judicial activism has negated the rights of the people over and over and over again on this issue. But what I started to say was, we're not too far removed from, particularly in those states where same-sex marriage is legal, and now where civil unions are the big deal, we're not too far removed from the states through the court system coming to pastors like me and like your pastor and saying, you must perform these weddings. If somebody comes to you and says, we want you to marry us, and you say no, you're gonna have hell to pay with the state. This is where we are in this country. And when I see this headline, military chaplains may perform same-sex unions, I'm so reminded of the traditional argument by the homosexual rights group saying, oh, but this is no skin off your nose. What we do is our business. No, you see, you erode the rights of all of us. And I'm not the troublemaker here. Those of us that are in favor of traditional marriage are the ones who are in favor of not rocking the boat. We're the ones who are saying, from kingdom come, from time immemorial, the reality of marriage has been between male and female. We hold to the status quo. We hold to the traditional principle. It is the gay activists who are coming along and rocking the boat, and yet because we, as evangelical Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, stand by the traditional principle, we're the ones accused of being troublemakers. No, it's the gay community that's the troublemakers. Now, I know I'm being quite forceful here and very non-pastoral, and let me be pastoral for a moment. And let me say that the Church of Jesus Christ does not need to ostracize the gay community. But neither do we need to condone the gay community. Jesus didn't say to the woman at the well, you rightly say that you don't have a husband because you've had 5 husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. But that's okay. Keep living that way. He didn't say to the woman taken in adultery, I sympathize with your plight. I fully recognize that for whatever psychological reason, your upbringing or whatever, you've had to engage in this illicit activity. And I'm sorry for what's happened to you. Now go on and just, you know, try to better yourself in the future. No, Jesus, he said, go and sin no more. And that has to be the message of the church to the gay community. The gay community, particularly those in the gay church community, which is an oxymoron, my friends, you cannot be a Christian and gay. I mean, back up and say that again, because I don't think you quite heard me. You cannot be a Christian. Let me clarify it. You cannot be a Christian and actively live the lifestyle of a gay individual. because that lifestyle is at odds with what the Bible says about sexual behavior. You cannot live your life in a contrary way to the clear teaching of the Word of God and call yourself a Christian. It's like this this female minister that I got into a little tweet spat with last week over the young man who came out to his father on YouTube by calling him from Iraq or wherever he was, Afghanistan, wherever he was stationed, and coming out to his father via video and wondering how his father was going to respond to it, and this female minister, liberal left wing minister, saying that she cried when she heard that, and in the tweet discussion, she said back to me that she believes that, you know, that God just created us for love in whatever way we express that. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus clearly said, in the beginning, God created them male and female. That's precisely what Jesus said. He didn't say, in the beginning, God created them to just love. He didn't create Adam to love the giraffe or the monkey. He created Adam. He found a help meet for him in Eve. And to say otherwise is to fly in the face of what the clear teaching of the Word of God is. The problem is we've let our sympathies and our compassion overrule the Scripture. And what we have to do is speak the truth in love, and we do have to be loving to those who are under this sin, just like we need to be loving to adulterers, just like we need to be loving to thieves, just like we need to be loving to murderers. We need to be loving to all sinners. Homosexuality is not a sin in a class by itself. Homosexuality doesn't earn a badge for a special class of sin. Homosexuality is just sin. It's just sin. And you cannot live in sin and call yourself a Christian. I'm sorry, you just can't do that. I'm sorry to be the one to break it to you. I'm sorry to be the bad guy. But this is Jesus Christ died for your homosexuality. That's what's missing from the church side of things in this debate. Jesus Christ died for your homosexuality. He died for that. When the Bible says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, it's easy for us to think of that in quite a generic kind of way. Oh, well, he bore sin. Well, what sin? Name the sin. The sin of adultery is on Christ. The sin of homosexuality is on Christ. The sin of murder is on Christ. You look at that Gollum figure in Lord of the Rings. What sin had done to him to cause him to go from being somewhat normal, like, you know, is a hobbit normal? I don't know, but I guess normal for that world. To go from a normal, nice-looking hobbit to that shriveled-up Gollum figure, Tolkien was trying to illustrate there exactly what sin does to us. That sin was placed on Christ. When the Bible says there's neither form nor comeliness that we should desire him, not necessarily talking about his outward appearance physically as a human being, although that may be part of it, but in the Isaiah text there, in the Messianic text, dealing with the passion of Messiah, the suffering servant, I think Isaiah has in mind there, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and it's made him ugly. Jesus Christ bore this sin, and this is what's missing from the message of the church, this compassionate message that says, I'm not going to let you get away with your sin. I'm not going to condone your sin. I'm not going to wrap myself around you and say it's okay. You know, we all got our faults. We all got our problems, and let you go on in your sin. No, like Jesus, I'm going to lift you up out of the dust, and I'm going to say, where are your accusers? No man accuses me, Lord. And I'm going to say, I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more. And certainly the church needs to quit being accusatory to the gay community and much more compassionate towards them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if a sinner persists in his sin, the Church of Jesus Christ can do nothing more than excommunicate that person and keep them out of fellowship. That's what the Word of God says. The church, however, has gotten this condoning attitude towards sin that is totally unlike anything in the Scripture. So all of that, to come back to the original story, military chaplains may now perform same-sex unions. And I'm saying to you, we are mere months away maybe a year or two away from the Pentagon issuing a new statement saying military chaplains must perform same-sex unions. This is where we've come to in our country. And it's a dark day, but the gospel is still the gospel.